the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Right, we back again. So now we doing Brains. Shit happens. And in life, we have to learn to be flexible with every aspect, be it our weight, our mind, or our telecommunications. So thank you so much for coming and popping in here with me, Kristen Lloyd. I really am so glad to have you here on the Edge to introduce you to me and my Brains. Now, Brains, I want you to see a before and after. This was Kristen Lloyd before. This is Kristen Lloyd now. She lost over 200 pounds with bariatric surgery. She's written a book also, Bariatric Mindset Success. And we're going to talk about that because in the pages of this book, it says, live your best life and keep the weight off after bariatric surgery. Let's welcome her to the Edge. Hello, Kristen Lloyd.
Hello. Thank you for having me, April.
Get you a proper introduction, girl. I'm so glad you're flexible.
I am. Now I am.
Yes, you are. You are the business. So introduce yourself to my Brains. I want them to know a little bit about your history, about your education, and then we're going to go into the story of losing over 200 pounds.
So I'm Kristen Lloyd, and I have a master's in counseling and finishing up a PhD in psychology. The topic of my dissertation is, what is the process of lifestyle change for women who have undergone bariatric surgery? I've lived it. I love it. It's my passion. And grew up in Miami, Florida. Still a little thick, you know. grew up having... probably about that time of puberty when I realized I was different from a lot of the other girls who were pencil thin and
right.
Just felt different.
Right. And so was it the culture then to be that kind of twiggy? You know, I remember when I was 25, 26, and they used to call it heroin chic. You know, the girls would be so skinny and they would have their sweaters pulled over their hands. And it was just, you know, you had to have that twiggy look or you were just ostracized.
Yeah.
Well, for you being curvy?
It was difficult because the most popular girls were very thin. And I'll tell you this, when I was in Miami, it wasn't that big of an issue. But when I moved to Georgia and I moved to Atlanta, where I grew up in Miami, it was so multicultural, so diverse. And then I moved up here. I can remember, when I was in Miami, I was like one of the only white girls. So when I came up here, I was like, it was really weird because everybody was pencil thin and I really didn't fit in. And so that was like my teen years, but because we moved when I was about 14, 15. And so when I was in Miami, there wasn't that much of an issue. It was more when I moved to Georgia because there were a lot more very thin girls. And so that's when my culture changed.
Okay. And so how did you go from being a curvy, you know, voluptuous teenager to being severely obese?
So it started with eating out regularly. And then it started with overeating and emotionally eating and indulging and not being conscious of what I ate at all, but just eating whatever I desired, whatever felt good. And I look back now and how I describe it was I built those neuro pathways in my brain towards what I ate, what felt good rather than what was good for my body.
Right. And so you had a whole bunch of other stuff going on because I had an emotional trigger yesterday. I was driving in the car and I had just had lunch a couple hours prior to that. And then I said, you know what, let me pull over and get something to eat. And I was like, self, you better go home. I didn't need to. I felt like I was in the car and I'm so used to going out or having coffee with someone or this, that, and the other. I'm going to dial back on that. And something else that I did, I counted how many items I put in my mouth in a 24-hour period. I'm not going to self-disclose, but I tell you, I was mortified, okay? And so now with that snapshot, I have a template to say, you know what, this is not good. Watch what you're putting in your mouth. Every time you get in the car, you don't have to be pulling in, driving in, picking up, restauranting, none of that kind of stuff. Right. So, and then you have this emotional stuff that's going on as well. Right. What was your aha moment? Was it health reasons? Did you have other contributing factors that caused you to, you know, because bariatric surgery is pretty serious. It's pretty serious surgery.
There were two different aha moments. The first one was when I didn't think I could get pregnant and I was already married at that time. And the doctor said, go have weight loss surgery first, because I was losing and gaining the same 50 pounds over and over and over. And, then the next aha moment was after I had my son, when my husband said to me, listen, I don't want you to die. And because I thought that after having my son, I would have lost weight, you know, they tell you, oh, breastfeeding, you'll burn more calories and all that.
Right.
I ballooned up. And so he said, look, this is serious. And I was it was so hard to move. I was very sedentary. And
it didn't distract him from getting your boom boom.
No.
So
he didn't know what.
He loved too. So, you know, that's good. He still loved you and embraced you through all of that. And that's pretty serious. How long were you down after you had your surgery?
When you say down, you mean like how long was I out of work or out of?
Well, yeah, I mean, just, you know, before you could just consider yourself normal, maybe have a normal meal, have a normal bowel movement, you know, how long did it take you through the process? Like 3 months, 2 months?
That's a whole process. There's so many different parts of that, because after I had surgery, I had my surgery in Seattle and we had just moved to Atlanta. So I took a plane 3 days after surgery. I had an 11-month-old, so I was still watching him. So I would say that I was on my post-op diet, where it was just liquids for 2 weeks, and then another 2 weeks on soft foods, and then another week on or pureed foods, and then soft foods. So it took probably 3 months. I remember that Thanksgiving. I had surgery in October, and that Thanksgiving was 6 weeks out. And I remember having this teeny tiny saucer of a plate where I had a little bit of turkey and some vegetables. But even at that point, I couldn't have like Brussels sprouts because my stomach wasn't ready for it yet.
Well, you know, I had did something. Now, this was not to the extreme that you've experienced, but I did a colon cleanse. After I did the colon cleanse, it wasn't a colonic, okay? That's my next adventure. But I went and I had a steak about 8 or 9 days after that. Girl, I thought I had died and went to hell. Yeah. It churned and went through my body. It took like 3 or 4 days to digest. Yeah. So I can just imagine reintroducing solid foods into your diet, what that could do, what that could feel like. Okay, so now you look in the mirror and you see this new sexy self.
Yep.
Like, what is this? Some people are going to see sagging skin.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are going to recognize a whole new different person. People's mate is not going to be down with this. Tell us about mentally some of the challenges that people that go through these severe surgeries, you know, and I call them serious because they are serious.
Yeah, so, no, it is serious. The body image.
200 pounds is too little people.
Yeah, the body image piece is huge. And then, of course, you know, the boobs are pointing down, the stomach's pointing down, and you've got to suck everything in. And there are a lot of people that have a lot more hanging skin than I do. And so a lot of times a lot of the women that I talk to will really struggle with seeing themselves as beautiful or sexy post-op. And I think that that's part of the body image stuff that happens. And can they go and get that skin surgery? Sure. But in the meantime, acceptance, body acceptance is very important. And a lot of the things that people will struggle with mentally and emotionally, initially the confidence comes back with your clothes on, right?
Right.
There are other issues in terms of setting boundaries and people pleasing and self-doubt, like, can I do this? Can I keep it off?
Right.
Do I trust myself? So there's a lot of mental head stuff going on, commitments to oneself. There's so many different things. There's also quite a few women that I work with that are single. So now they're dating for the first time.
And seeing how that's going to work for them. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. Now, is this considered like a cosmetic surgery? I know it just depends, but for the most part, these type of insurance, are not covered by insurance.
Some weight loss surgeries are, and it's also, this is something that we're all still lobbying for and on, because obesity is a very complex issue. It is not as simple as, oh, you just ate too much. It's really complex. There are genetic factors. There are psychobiological factors. There are a lot of different issues, hormone issues and things like that, because there are some people who, no matter what plan they're on, they try to lose weight. And one of the reasons I chose weight loss surgery is that I got to a certain point where I said this a little while ago, I was gaining and losing the same 50 pounds over and over. Although for me, weight loss surgery was not covered by insurance. One of the things that I think it really helps with is it gives you like a biological reset, because it resets the hunger hormones in your stomach, leptin, ghrelin, which I talk about in my book. It talks about, even though I'm not a medical professional, but it's important that we understand how our bodies interact with our brains and why we might be craving certain things. But to answer your question about the weight loss surgery, it's not covered across the board, and we're still lobbying to get it covered, because there are so many people who need this type of surgery to get that reset in order to get some of their other health issues taken care of. But see, this is the system is, some people say, okay, you get the weight off and that'll help you with all these other health issues.
Right.
However, sometimes you can't lose the weight until you, it's like the, which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Exactly. And it's a lot of work. So you've written this great book to help others.
Yep.
You have a great coaching program.
Yep.
And tell us a little bit about that.
So right now I have a coaching program exclusively for women. I will have a coaching program in the next couple months that is coming for men. I keep it separate because so many of the women that I work with, you may or may not know this, but a lot of the women who are also struggling with obesity also have some form of childhood trauma or sexual trauma. And so it's really important that we kind of keep women to share.
Another thing, men tend to lose weight quicker than women.
Right.
And you get pissed off because Mr. Magnificent, I lost 15 pounds and here I am, you know, laying there like lunch meat. I'm just as mad.
Like, seriously. And we look at a crouton and gain weight, right?
Exactly. So that's crazy. So you have taken on a very erotic hobby. You did.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You took this on prior to. Don't think you did play without.
Yes.
She had that bariatric surgery, but before that, she was doing some belly dancing. Okay, so those muscles was already tight. What? And shaking those hips. And she's over, 5'11"?
5'11".
Girl, tell us all about that.
So I was overseas for about a year and thought, well, what can I do with my extra time while I'm over here? And so I got some in-home belly dance lessons. And so that is something that I think is super fun, to take on some belly dance classes. And I thought it also would be, you know, something that I could do with this new physique. And
it's very erotic. Very erotic. And you know what? You see, most belly dancers are thick girls.
Yeah, they are.
Hula dancers, they have flatter bellies, but they got big hips and big rumps. So don't be afraid of that. People are now paying big money to get big booties and all that other
stuff. Yeah, they are. Like implants and stuff. Yep.
Let me ask you a question. Liposuction. What is liposuction?
Liposuction just sucks out a certain amount of the fat that's in between, it just sucks out some of like the loose fat. It's not some of the, there's different types of fat. Again, I'm not a doctor, but.
No, I have no idea because I'm just going to have to live with it. I really want to work hard to get rid of it, but I just enjoy my life. I like to eat. I like to drink. I like to talk to great people and have them on the edge like you. Tell them, Kristen Lloyd, how to get in contact with you if they want more information about purchasing your book, your program, or working with you one-on-one.
The books are available on Amazon, and they can also reach me via www.bariatricmindset.com, and I have other products. I have a calendar, which we just launched, that also helps with tracking. One of the things that you said earlier, where they can just check things off, is you made a note of all the things that you ate yesterday. And that actually, within the clinical literature, is one of the ways to keep the weight off long term, is to stay on top of what you're eating, tracking, meal prepping, moving your body, that fitness, making sure you get enough sleep. And so tracking what you're eating can help you with accountability, help you to stay on track. And so that's why I put that in the calendar in the book as well.
Right. And check that out. Sleep apnea. Let me tell you, that is a big contributor, and people don't want to go through the sleep study, and they don't want to sleep with the device because it ain't sexy. But you know what ain't sexy? Not waking up.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, because you stop breathing and it really affects your weight loss and weight gain. Thank you so much, Kristen Lloyd, for being here on The Edge. You had another book. Don't you have another book too?
I have a coloring book.
Show them everything you got. Okay.
Oh, I have the
coloring book. My daughter's into that. She's really good at it too.
And this one, it allows, this one, I love this. I'm worthy and deserving of great things. And then it'll have on this page, a journaling page, that, because a lot of people are really, that's why we call it the color of confidence. They're stepping into this new confidence of their body. And there's a lot of different animals in here as well that signify a lot of the transformation. So a peacock, we have an owl. So there's a lot of different coloring pages. And then for some people who are not wanting to track on apps, so this is a paper tracker, and also weekly check-ins on what you're eating, but also how you're feeling. And the importance of this is to be mindful of what you're eating, when you're eating, how much you're eating, and that helps.
You get in the car and feel like you should be driving somewhere to go eat.
But you know what? That's, and you use the word, the brains. That's the thing, is we're so conditioned that that's what we're supposed to be doing, that we need that system interrupt. We need that moment. And you did it perfectly to go, wait a minute, you're not hungry, time out. And then that's how we shift those habits.
Well, thank you. And thank you for, you know, re-engaging and staying on top of it and dedicating your education and your life to really mentoring this population, because this is a very niche market. Yes. You know, everybody's not going to go through it. Everybody can't afford it.
Right.
Everybody doesn't have the mindset. They don't have the support. So if you got it, you know, go check her out. She's awesome sauce. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge.
Thanks for having me.
Kristen Lloyd, I love you brains from the bottom of my socks, because my heart just is not deep enough.
Bye.